preparing. I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm preparing for something all the time. I get one thing ready, and I have to get ready for the next thing. Maybe part of that is because Sundays come every week, and no matter what, we have to get ready for it. Even if I'm not going to be here, we still have to plan and get a bulletin ready and get the service prepared, and to do that along with special events and just regular life, things are never done. And then there are those pesky expectations. We most certainly get in our minds just exactly what we expect to happen, don't we? And again, I don't know about you, but things seldom turn out exactly as I expect them to. One of the best lessons I ever learned about worship and about preparing and about expectations came from Dr. Vernon Davis. I talked to him just a few weeks ago, and I told him this very thing. I learned from Vernon that once the first moment of the service starts, a pastor has to let it go and let it happen. Sitting up here and worrying about every aspect takes away from my ability to worship. So we've planned, we've prepared, and sometimes there are some major mistakes in the bulletin, like having the wrong liturgist and having no communion listed in the bulletin. But we have to let go and let God take it from there. Vernon enjoyed worship more than any pastor I've ever worked with. And I sit here next to him and learn to just let go and let myself be in this time with you. Now, I admit sometimes things happen, and for a split moment I tense up. Like this morning, when things don't happen the way you expect them to happen, and I panic for a few moments. But then I think to myself, people know how to do communion. We do it every month. Relax. Relax and let God be in our worship time together. Expectations. We can set them pretty high, can't we? I always enjoy being around first-time expectant parents. They prepare in every way that they possibly can. They read everything. And now they search the internet, and they can find more answers and more problems than they ever dreamed about. But on that day, when that child is born, and that child is placed in their arms, there's not one person alive or one person on the internet that could have prepared them for what they feel at that moment. Their lives are changed in an instant. You know, we have gone through that this very week. Our daughter-in-law, Ashley, gave birth to their first child, Maggie. Ashley was prepared. Ashley is working on her PhD in human development. She was prepared. Everything in her house was prepared. She had weeks of food frozen in the freezer. She even had a complete Thanksgiving meal frozen in case Maggie came before Thanksgiving. But when they came home that first morning, they were exhausted. Ashley couldn't even think what she might want to eat, much less how to prepare it. She was too tired to make decisions, and so her mom and dad and Roy and I, we just held Maggie and we let Carter and Ashley sleep. And whenever was possible, we got them food ready and we fed them. Because no amount of reading or preparation could get them ready for how their lives had changed. Advent is about preparing and about expecting. But how do we prepare for Christ in our lives? What are our expectations? I may have told this story, but years ago, I sat in my office upstairs with a little boy who wanted to be baptized. And I was talking to him to ask him, you know, if he really understood what this was about. And I said, you know, how is baptism going to change you? And he thought for a moment very seriously, and he said, I'm not really sure, but I think it will make me never get mad at my sister again. Sometimes we really do have these ideas in our minds about what a Christian should look like, don't we? Or how we should behave, or how Christ is supposed to live in us. I know throughout all of history, for generations before Christ, people had this idea of what the Messiah was to look like. What he would do, how he would change things. And even today, we get in our own minds of what Jesus really would have looked like. Look at the nativities you find all around. Do they really look like Jesus would have looked? Or do they look like our expectations of what Jesus would have looked like? Many years ago, we had this huge nativity. Some of you will remember it. It was huge. We put it in different places, but it was so big. And we had it out in the atrium. And it was elaborate, to say the least. And it was very expensive. It was given to us. It was a museum piece. And all of the normal characters of the nativity were so elaborately dressed in gold and tapestry and glitter. And I was looking at it with the children, and this little girl who was maybe 6 said, "That's not what Jesus looked like." I saw the movie, and he was not that fancy. I couldn't help but think about my expectations of Jesus. We expect Jesus to be fancy, don't we? Sure, we think about Jesus as wearing sandals and a robe, not gold and glitter. But be honest. When you think about Jesus, don't you think he's wearing Birkenstocks? As I'm moving from one preparation to another this Advent season, expecting what I'm expecting, I wonder if maybe, just maybe, I have it mixed up a little bit. Maybe instead of preparing this place and preparing my home and preparing this world for Jesus, I need to be preparing myself. Maybe I get caught up in getting everything ready for Jesus, and that's important, and that's beautiful. But I forget that what needs to get ready is me. I need to open myself up. I need to make room inside myself for Christ. Maybe instead of trying to figure out what needs to be done, what I need to do, I need to try to meet up to God's expectations for me. Our gospel lesson today says we need to repent. That word is resurfacing a lot today. Repent. And so often when people say repent, they mean drop down to your knees and say you're sorry and confess and be willing to take the consequences. But actually, repent means to turn away and go the other direction. To turn away from the things of this world that distract us from God's expectations of us. Make room in your lives for what God would have for you. Prepare yourselves. Then and only then will the peace of Christ flow through you. When we prepare ourselves, when we're ready for Christ, then the grace and the mercy of Christ become real. I heard on the radio this week, I was listening to a serious radio country music station. And I heard them ask, what's the difference between grace and mercy? I thought, well, I really haven't thought about that. And the person answered, the difference between grace and mercy is that grace is when God gives you things you don't deserve. And mercy is when God doesn't give you what you do deserve. That really jumped out at me. There's so much that I do deserve, and most of it is not pretty. May we live our lives open, ready, turning away from the things of the world that distract us, and open for God's grace, and recognizing and expecting God's mercy. But it can't stop there. That grace and that mercy must flow through us into the world so that this world can be harmonious, so this world can be full of hope and peace and joy and love.